Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Morning, Robert.
What do you mean you're tired?
What do you mean I'm tired?
You just said you were tired.
Well, you know, I've got a lot going on.
What, sort
very
of...
busy.
Going down to the fridge to make yourself a sandwich. Quick glass of wine after lunch.
Feels like a little bit of working from home jealousy shining through here. Why
really?
Don't you set up a studio at home?
I haven't got the space.
That would be fine.
Well, it would just be too noisy.
It'd be nice. Could really work out well.
I have thoughts about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Save you hours a day in commuting.
Save me a lot of money in petrol and payage fees, that's for sure.
Good for the environment.
And I like coming in, you know, kind of like coming in, yeah.
Okay.
If that's all right with you.
Yeah, please carry on. Listen, you've done a remarkable job during this turbulent time and we've all been very proud of your efforts.
Thank you.
Apart from those 5 weeks you had off.
Four, actually.
Extended holiday.
4 weeks, not five.
Sabbatical, some people would call it.
Okay.
Sabbatical to the Winelands.
No action on Wall Street yesterday, but a good day to start the week in Europe.
Yeah, European investors regaining some confidence yesterday, say US markets closed for the Labor Day holiday. After being shaken at the end of last week with the pullback in the high-flying tech shares, it was good to see European markets higher. Stocks rose with broad gains led by the automakers. Stocks 50 was up 1.6% at the close. Investors, of course, will be a little bit cautious ahead of the open on Wall Street today, see if that recent sell-off in those best-performing stocks will continue amid concerns over elevated valuations. Although looking at US futures, they are positive this morning. Oil price been under a little bit of pressure, fell once again yesterday amid concerns that the rising number of COVID cases will result in a reimposition of restrictions that will limit demand for energy, along, of course, with the end of the US holiday driving season. All of which could squeeze demand. Brent trading below $42 a barrel this morning. Opening calls on the European bourses. Looks like we're going to add to yesterday's gains. Currently calling the FTSE up 5 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 15 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 1 point.
Yeah, some analysts saying that it wasn't really a surprise that there was a big sell-off in tech stocks at the end of last week, considering they'd risen by 75% since the low hit in March. And it might be a bit of a struggle putting those gains back on again.
Yeah, listen, I think there's got to be some natural scepticism about the ability of the equity markets in general, and specifically technology sector, to continue to add to those gains. There is a structural change that's taking place. The working from home winners, the changes in the way in which we communicate and which we operate means that many of those technology companies will continue to do very well. A lot of that good news, you could argue, has already been priced into those shares. $6 trillion has been added to the technology markets gains in the United States over the course of 5 months. That is an incredible performance. So I think you need to be making sure, as we've been saying many times, that you're in a position where you've been able to hedge some of those gains and continue to think about diversification. There is a sort of debate taking place about whether we're going to see this sort of grand rotation now away from technology shares, looking at some of the value plays. I don't think that's likely to happen. Some of the traditional value players where some have suggested there is some opportunity, I think we'll continue to face a tough regulatory environment, a changing economic backdrop, and of course you continue to see the impact of particularly in financials, for example, the impact of lower interest rates that likely remain low for a prolonged period of time.
Tesla's an interesting one, isn't it? You know, rocketed up in the first 6 months of the year and some pretty heavy falls at the end of last week. Will it be able to regain its momentum, do you think?
Tesla's such a difficult one, isn't it? It's the real Marmite one. There's some that believe it's going to lead the fundamental change towards electrification. Others believe it's just simply an overvalued car stock. Yeah, the shares have been an incredible performer. They were up 500% year to date before we got to Thursday, and they've fallen 22% on Thursday and Friday, if memory serves me correctly. So they've given back a lot of those gains, but still, of course, up quite dramatically for the year. Their valuation is absolutely huge, certainly compared to traditional car manufacturers. They're worth more than, if not all of the, certainly many of the major car manufacturers put together. So I think, yeah, it's a question, can they lead the advance in technology that will change the world, or do they look like an overvalued car company is the real debate there.
Hardly surprising to seeing Sterling taking a hit after the noises coming out of Downing Street yesterday.
Yeah, pound certainly under pressure as investors begin to price in the increased risk of a no-deal Brexit. Sterling declined as much as 1% against the dollar yesterday, trading just above 131 this morning, extending its drop to the longest since June. Speculation gains some momentum that the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, is prepared to tell the European Union is willing to let talks fail rather than compromise on what he sees as core Brexit principles. Clock, as we know, is ticking. Both sides have agreed the need to reach a deal by mid-October. Remember, there's the EU Council summit on the 15th of October. That's seen as very much a deadline date in order to pave the way for a smooth exit at the end of the year. On balance, whilst the risk of a no-deal certainly increase, we still see a deal as perhaps more likely than not. There's the economic consequences. I think the government would want to avoid the triple threat, which would be in the fourth quarter of a recession and an increased unemployment, a second wave of COVID, throw in thirdly a no-deal Brexit, and that would create such a difficult backdrop in terms of the UK. And then you've got the second order consequences. We know a no-deal would strengthen Scottish independence movement and create that hard border on the island of Ireland, which of course has broad ramifications there. So still a lot of work to be done. There's still time to do it. But as I say, it's all looking a little bit nervous.
The EU's already said no, though, hasn't it? Michel Barnier, on his way to London today, said no.
Yeah, there's been a lot of no's, but there's been climb downs and compromises at the 11th hour. So the UK is probably going for the thing, you know, a hard view. We will certainly not blink first. The question is, will the European Union decide to compromise?
Well, it can be little more than a negotiating gambit on the behalf of Boris Johnson and his chief negotiator, David Frost, surely, because, you know, he's kind of stuck in a cul-de-sac at the moment, Boris Johnson, whichever way he turns.
It's a different approach compared to what we saw from Theresa May, who was talking about compromise and getting the deal done. And I think it's been a very tough start, at least from the Boris Johnson's Brexit negotiation team. And saying, or at least putting out the idea there, that they believe that sovereignty is a price worth paying for if they don't have to sign up to many of these elements that they don't agree with, particularly around the level playing field, which would mean that the UK would have to adhere to a common set of rules and standards on things like taxation, environmental standards and workers' rights.
You rip up the withdrawal agreement, so that raises the specter of a hard border on the island of Ireland, and if you wanted a free trade deal with the United States, you'd never get through Congress.
Well, there's it depends how those elections go, of course, so we need to wait to see what happens.
I don't think it really matters.
Election.
I mean, the makeup of, I mean, with the Irish-American pressure in the States, then they would never allow a free trade deal to go ahead if there was a hard border on the island of Ireland. That just goes without saying, doesn't it?
I haven't looked at that, to be honest with you. It's not something I've considered. So it's that would be taking it to another step. But I think there's a number of elements would need to come into place before we can make that assumption.
All right, we better just all rush down IKEA and build ourselves some furniture.
Yeah, IKEA continuing to expand, while many traditional retailers are abandoning shopping centres and transitioning increasingly to an online model. IKEA said it will push ahead with opening its first shop in a shopping mall in the United States, saying that the modern physical retailer needs to be built around local community needs and complementing a mix of different elements, including digitalization and sustainability. IKEA investment in the San Francisco mall is worth more than $260 million, so a significant vote of confidence there. Also said they are in active talks with potential real estate sellers in several European cities, including Barcelona, Madrid, Milan, Rome, and Berlin. IKEA increasingly looking to add sites in the heart of cities to complement those of the larger out-of-town stores that we're all, of course, very familiar with.
Just opened one in Nice, actually, a concept store. You can go in and look at the catalogue and choose your stuff and then order it.
Is that nice?
Haven't been there.
Okay. But why can't you do that online? Why do you need to go and look at the catalogue?
Well, because you know, there'll be friendly assistants there to help you make the right decisions, I suppose. But they're opening a mega store in Nice. It's going to be the start of 2022 now.
It's going to be a redecorating year for you, isn't it? Lovely. Put the new studio in, fill it up with IKEA, boom, away you go.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 131 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 118. Getting a pretty miserable €1.11 for your British pound this morning.
I bet you've never built a bit of IKEA furniture in your life, have you?
I tell you what, when I was in Switzerland, I bought this little tent for the kids to play in from IKEA that seemed to work very well.
That's hardly building IKEA furniture, is it? It's just one of those pop-up ones.
Beyond that, I haven't, I have to admit.
Okay, talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Barclay.